I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Okay, so how many air marshals are on planes right now, and how many do you think there should be to get to a safe level?
We're not flying right now. The only missions that we're doing are quiet skies missions, and those are missions that are following the January 2021 people. So we're either on the border for illegal immigrants, or we're following folks from January 2021. We're not doing our regular missions where we're out there looking for the bad guys. So right now on most flights, you're not going to have air marshals.
What do you mean by that? You're following January 2021 people. What does that mean?
That means our primary mission is a little group called Quiet Skies. It's a mission called Quiet Skies that we're following people that flew into the National Capital Region in January 2021. You did not have to go to the Capitol or the rally, and you've been put on a specific list that TSA now has assigned air marshals to follow these people who have not had any type of criminal investigation. They haven't committed a crime, but yet 3 years later, we're following the same individuals day in and day out.
I wanted to replay that as we did last week because I think it's beginning to sink into a lot of people right now, especially over this travel season. Were you flying by air? Did you feel safe, secure? If you'd heard that story prior to Thanksgiving, you might not have been that secure. But it's continuing even as I speak. We do not have air marshals. We don't have air marshals in the air because they have been sent down to the border, basically to pass out water. Look, for those who come up and are trying to come in the country illegally, you still have, you should have, humanity for them. And we're going to provide what services they need, water, medical aid, and everything else. Does not mean you come into our country. But now what we're doing is taking a prime objective of this nation, especially since 9/11, to have people on board planes. You never know who they are, man, woman, you don't know the color, ethnicity, anything, but they are a federal air marshal, and they're ready to do the job to save that plane and the passengers on board if need be. Sometimes they might be put onto a plane because they do have a reason to suspect an issue, and sometimes it's just, we got 20 flights. Let's put you on this one. Roll of the dice. We don't have enough air marshals to go on every flight. But we have enough IRS agents and then some to check into everything. If you missed, place a comma, that we can get. Does that make sense to anyone? Anyone? Of course not. All right, thanks for joining us. Here we are, November 27th. 2023, the second hour of Larry Connors USA. And, of course, reminding you, when we're on the air, we also are streaming video. Newstalk STL Facebook and Twitter. Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter on Rumble. Remember, you can always register to sign up. Have it sent right to your mailbox, no issue. And then you watch it as you can. Very interesting. I watched. It didn't totally surprise me, but Thursday and Friday, of course, we had best programs, so we could have a couple of days off as well, time with family, which I think we all need to have more and more of. But I was looking at numbers from Wednesday, and it was interesting to watch how many more people began to pull up the Wednesday cast because they were busy getting ready with family coming in and everything, and they missed it. Well, that's why we put it up on Larry Connors USA Facebook, where you can either go and find the Rumble video for that date or the audio or both. I have no idea how many of the audio was pulled up for that date, but I do know the numbers between the video, 1,000, close to 1,000. Thank you. Thank you very much. And please thank the sponsors when you see them. because they keep us on the air. All right, now, we heard, of course, again with the director of the National Council, that was Sonia Lobosco, say, we've got a list of everybody who's in D.C. January 6th, and we're still following some of them. We don't know they did anything wrong, but my God, if you flew into Washington, D.C. on January 6th, you're on a list. And who knows when you're going to be off that list? No one does. And, of course, we also have a lot of folks right now that have been trying to say, look, Trump is so dead in the water, he can't do anything, and particularly in South Carolina, because he was going to go down there for the football game, and he showed up. And I want you to hear, we can't let you hear all of it to go on way too long. There are some boos in the crowd. There are some, but you got to really listen carefully, because when they saw Donald Trump show up at that game in South Carolina, wow, it became big. And I heard, USA, USA! They loved it. They loved the man. That's not the kind of stuff the Democrats wanted to see. Which reminds me the other day, as is a tradition, the night before Thanksgiving, they have the Guns and Hoses boxing match between firemen, policemen, firewomen and policewomen, as a matter of fact, as well. Governor Schmidt of Missouri showed up, got a great round of applause. I have to admit, I didn't watch all of it. I had been invited, John Bill, my sponsor, invited me to go with him. I said, John, I can't. I've already got a commitment. And then that canceled, so then, I'm not going to bug him for a ticket now, so I'll just go to, what can I do? Oh, I know what I can do. I'm going to play poker. I had nothing else. What the heck? So I went there, and they have it up on the screen. I'm enjoying it. And somebody at the table said, well, I'm glad to see our Missouri senator is there, Schmidt. That's good. Wonder if the mayor of St. Louis is going to show up and what kind of reaction she would get. If she did, I didn't see it. And I would guarantee you that the former prosecutor, she didn't show up either for obvious reasons. This was a night to honor and represent men and women of our first responders who often put their lives on the line just to help someone they don't even know. But that's their duty, their mission. And it is a time to also honor those who have lost some. The Backstoppers program is a big part of that. They collect about $1 million+ every year. Corporate gifts, individual gifts. That money is then used to help take care of families. When an officer goes down, or a fireman, they show up the next day at the house with a check to pay off the mortgage. And say, we got money set aside for your children when they're ready for college, and we've got some immediate spending money for you to help you. Nothing like that is going to bring back any lives. We know that. But you're also showing them and reminding them you're all part of the brotherhood of police and fire, and we take care of each other. Wouldn't that be a great idea for Americans to go back to again? We have political differences, so be it. Are you an American? Are you a patriot? That's what this show has always been about. I I could make a battle every day over something, but I don't want to. I don't want to do that anymore. But I will tell you this. I want to share with you that Tulsi Gabbard said, if you're looking for someone who promised they were going to unite our country, well, he actually ended up has done more than that. And at the same time, he's quick to call out. And believe me, I know Donald Trump has done this as well. So I'm not going to say it's all upon Joe Biden. But Tulsi Gabbard said, we had again a chance to coalesce, and Biden blew it up.
As you know, you listen to his Thanksgiving message, like, oh, well, we've heard all of that before. When he ran in 2020, he was the guy who was going to bring everyone together, be the uniter in chief. You know, his inauguration message was about treating all Americans with respect, regardless of what party you are, whoever you voted for. And yet we've seen over every year of his presidency, he has, as you said, Jimmy, has done exactly the opposite. He talked about bringing people together. He treats anyone who voted for Donald Trump or even those who disagree and hold different values as the enemy, and actually uses our federal agencies and law enforcement to go after them. He talked about bringing about more peace. The world is on fire right now. We are on the brink of World War III and multiple fronts, the brink of nuclear war. And yet he has the audacity to come and pretend like we haven't paid attention for the last few years on everything that he's done and how disastrous it has been.
Yeah, we know how disastrous it's been. You knew it as you went to go buy your fixings for your Thanksgiving dinner. May I take a moment on that again? I do hope you had a great Thanksgiving dinner with your loved ones, and you might have had an empty table or a chair at the table of someone who's not there this year, and I feel for your loss. But I want you also to keep in mind, there were a lot of people, they did not really have a Thanksgiving dinner. They had the best they could, and that was it. So always keep in mind those who are less fortunate. And as things get tougher, it's going to become even more so for many of them. Now, Justin Trudeau comes forward. And Justin Trudeau of Canada, he thinks he knows everything about the U.S. of A.
All parties in Canada stand with Ukraine. So it is particularly troubling to see, even though we are seeing a rise of right-wing rhetoric in the United States with MAGA conservatives, across Europe in certain corners, of right-wing politicians and parties starting to pull their support for Ukraine, starting to parrot Russian disinformation and misinformation and propaganda, that suddenly the Conservative Party of Canada would choose to not stand with Ukraine in something that they need, that the Ukraine has asked for.
Yeah, well, I understand that. I understand that they want this. And I understand that Chuck Schumer said, from the will of the Senate, we must get money to Israel ASAP. And he's a Jew. And here comes the House leadership under Mike Johnson. We've got a perfect package for you, exactly what you asked for, $14-plus billion. Here it is. Send it to Israel. They didn't do it because there was not money in there for Ukraine, and there wasn't money for what they wanted to call and say more border security, which meant basically more folks to go down to help process illegals get into the country again. If there's any good that came out of it, we might have air marshals back on our flight. I wouldn't count on it. Because for these guys, it's not give and make do. It's give and want more and want more and want more all the time. Speaking of the Israeli situation, Israel has agreed to grant another 2 days for releasing hostages. Again, as many hostages as we can get out is good, but there's a trade-off, and you know what's happening. And to that extent, here's former Prime Minister Bennett.
We have two goals. The first goal is to eradicate and eliminate Hamas. We have to wipe Hamas off the face of Earth after what they did and what they say they're going to do again and again, which is try and massacre, rape, murder Israeli children, parents, moms, dads. We cannot continue with this entity existing. And the second objective is to release the hostages. To some extent, there's tension between these two objectives. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're in this deal, which provides roughly 10 to 12 hostages per day of pause. But there is a price for the day of pause because it prolongs the existence of Hamas. Once this interim deal is over, the IDF will go full force to eradicate Hamas.
Yeah, they will have to at that point. It will be tougher then. It's going to put more Israeli defense forces at harm's way. But you want as many out as you can. And I remind you, if Hamas were really serious about this, they could release all of them in one day. 2 days, and certainly before the end of this next extension, but they won't. 10 a day. That's buying time. And I'm happy for the families who get their loved ones out. And it's going to hurt for the families who see that there is not going to be a ceasefire again. They're going to move forward and continue operations. They'll continue praying and hoping that their loved ones will come out. And they might. They might actually be rescued by the Israeli Defense Forces. And we have still people in this country that are going around who have no understanding of the PLO issue from the beginning, much less to where we are now. And this changed October 7th, when they went across with it set in their mind to be as barbarous as they could be, videotaping it, showing it. I read a piece earlier about a reporter that had gone to one of those showings where they were not allowed to have a camera or anything inside. And he said some of the people that were there, other journalists, had to get up and leave. I can understand that, because especially if you're watching something like that go down and you suddenly put your child, your mother, your father, your relative in that situation, see what happens to them, it changes your perspective immediately. It's the same thing with folks who are anti-capital punishment, anti-capital, forever and ever, don't like capital punishment. What if they took your child and they did this and this and this and eventually killed them? Well, that's not fair. You're putting it on me. That's the whole point. Somebody pay the price and there will be justice. Dr. Tobler coming up, lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local. Really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9/94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you, why pay more than four? In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
I have a great whiskey suggestion. Stolach Whiskey, created using natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Next time, get a bottle. But if you're going to share with friends, you better get at least two bottles. Stolach has the Larry Connors seal of approval. See the full story at Stolach.com. Stolach, S-T-O-W-L-O-C-H, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers. Someone who cares. Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers. Someone who's there.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. My guest is obviously well known to you. He's a host also here on News Talk STL, Dr. Randy Tobler, every Saturday morning. Dr. Tobler, glad to have you with us, sir.
Hey, great to be with you. Thanks, Larry.
Well, one of the questions I'd always raise, and you being an obstetrician, I can't get the word out today, was in the beginning about when we were told repeatedly for women once they got pregnant, do not do any alcohol, certainly no drugs, smoking, so forth. And yet Pfizer and others during COVID were saying, oh, no, no, no. They can have the drug even if they're 6 months pregnant. Below that, it was never clear anyway, but even then they were saying it's okay at 6 months. So the first question, sir, based upon your expertise, would you advise a pregnant woman who's 6 months pregnant, say, okay, you start drinking, do drugs, whatever you want. It won't harm the baby.
I think that's a bit of a loaded question, but of course I wouldn't, but I don't know that I'm going to extrapolate that to what I anticipate your next question is, Larry.
Well, the next question is, as you well know, Pfizer apparently and others have been found. Well, and back in 2021, Pfizer stated the vaccine is capable of preventing infection in children at this age, talking about, and should be well tolerated. That was an age of children. And then they came along with another one saying two doses of mRNA COVID-19 during pregnancy are highly effective. They don't mention the risk to the baby. What's going on there?
Well, look, I think that the effectiveness, that definition changed as the real use of the vaccine, you know, came into play, which happens a lot with all drugs, including vaccines, and effective transmuted from prevent the infection at a high rate to prevent people from being in the hospital and dying. And I think it did a pretty good job of that, especially with the, you know, the original form and the Delta and even the early Omicron form. So, you know, that, but there's no doubt that real life use certainly did not bear out what we had hoped would happen with the vaccine. based on the limited studies, because, of course, it was done fairly quickly. And I think with good intention, I really do believe that the people driving this from the scientific community and, yes, the commercial side of it as well, I think we're really frightened about, you know, when we saw the bodies piling up in Hunan, in Wuhan province, and, right. You know, people were quite frightened. But you're right. I mean, effectiveness, that goalpost changed. There's no doubt about it.
Well, I guess the bigger concern I had, I mean, and you're right. I mean, we were in not sure what to do. Trump orders a warp speed, so we're going to get this stuff out as fast as possible, cutting a lot of red tape. But with the red tape also takes time to actually evaluate over 3 months, 6 months, a year or two. All that got reduced to weeks. First of all, do you think that was a wise idea, even though I think it also did save some lives?
I think there's a little bit of a misunderstanding in terms of the actual evaluation time. I do agree, and Paul Offit and others who actually were in major protest on the FDA advisory committee, by the way, they raised a lot of hackles. A few even resigned from that committee. At any rate, there was no doubt that because of the mRNA technology, they knew a day or two after we knew the DNA genotype, the signature of the virus, if you will, they were able to develop the vaccine in warp speed time. And that allowed actually a pretty reasonable time, several months actually, before, you know, to accumulate the data. So what changed with that technology was learning about what the target is to the development of the product. And that was shortened by warp speed time. I mean, that was a quantum difference from what it normally takes with the typical influenza or other vaccines.
Well, let me ask just a question along that line. I mean, for all these R&D trials underway on drugs that have less priority, I'll use that term right now, do we have red tape bogging down a pipeline of drugs that could be beneficial to people that should be released earlier?
Well, I think thanks to some of the regulatory changes that were introduced during the Trump administration, a lot of those so-called orphan drugs or those drugs that are for rare conditions where there's not a significant profit motive. I mean, just to be honest with you, and so I think that there was a little bit of some liberalization of, you know, basically letting people say, hey, look, this is the wild, wild west with this particular medication, but what else are you going to do? Everything else hasn't worked, or we don't have anything else to even try. And I think that we should even continue to push on that. We need to lean into that kind of a feeling and that kind of an approach to those kind of drugs for rare and, you know, devastating and catastrophic diseases. Why not? I mean, what is it really bad to roll the dice when, you know you're going to lose the game if you don't at least try to win with a roll of the dice?
I agree. And again, doesn't it become the patient's decision that, we don't know, but do you want to take a chance with it?
Yeah. And if there ever was a place for government and, you know, sort of a, I don't know, for lack of a better word, sort of a communal, we are America. We care about people with these rare disorders. We care about kids with cystic fibrosis. We care, you know, if there was ever a place for government to be involved in some kind of a partnership with private companies, you know, those are the people that really, you know, I think you could justify some support. I could justify subsidies for those kind of medications for people that have, you know, rapid progression, multiple sclerosis, right, for instance, and other things that are just devastating. We should let people choose, and we should not make them go broke to take that chance to choose either. I think it ought to. I can certainly go for subsidizing that, Larry, more than windmill and solar
farm. Oh, my God. Let's put it that way. Yeah. Well, now, you know, one other thing along that line before we leave that topic. If I recall right, the young boy's name was Chad Green that was suffering a cancer, and they had medicine in Mexico that his parents were convinced would be a lifesaver for him. And they went down there against all kinds of state orders and directions and court orders and so forth, ended up not doing all they wanted, but at least gave them more days with him.
Yeah.
Have I summarized that case correctly from the best?
There's that, and there's other examples where, you know, there's some life-extending, you know, opportunities and success stories. I mean, there are probably an equal number or more that we don't hear about, right, where things don't work out well. But I your heart breaks for people that are, because of the regulatory apparatus, prevented from at least giving something a try. I mean, after all, who knows? Maybe there'd be a miraculous advance that could benefit not only that disease, but because of research done on that response, other diseases.
Now, let's get back to the prime issue with, and of course, we have heard about the link between myocarditis and enlargement lining of the heart and so forth. Get a clear understanding, mRNA, I mean, that's basically changing the structure of the body, the cells, or what exactly?
No. So the mRNA vaccine delivers in a small oil particle, basically. It delivers the same message that is delivered to the protein manufacturing components of your cells and the same message that comes off of a DNA molecule. So we all have DNA. And our DNA, in order to make all of our body structures and our antibodies and other things, anything that's a protein structure, the DNA is read into a transcript, into an RNA transcript. Think of that as the print queue on your computer. So you go from your document and you push the print button, you get that new window. Okay, that new window sort of represents the mRNA transcript, which then goes to a printer, which are called the ribosomes. The ribosomes take the mRNA message, the transcript, and they read it, and out spits a protein. Think of it like a 3D printer.
Well, my God, so, I'm ready to be a doctor now. I fully understand it.
I hope that makes sense. Now, the thing is that this mRNA is fairly short-lived in the body. I mean, whether it's native RNA or whether it's delivered, you know, with these nanoparticles. And so that was really genius, and it's actually probably going to be a technology that is probably going to be unbelievably helpful for the very kind of diseases that we talked about.
Two quick questions. Yeah. You said it's shortly lived. Based on what period of time have you it's been decided it's shortly lived?
Yeah, usually, no, we're not talking months and years. So when people talk about spike proteins, you know, being produced over and over and over again, well, that's no different than theoretically, at least, that if you get infected with a COVID-19, and for some reason, is that mRNA any more special than any other mRNA? I think there's a lot of pseudoscience going on, both in the pro vaccine and the anti COVID vaccine realms.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, sir.
I believe the COVID-19 vaccine the mRNA vaccine was not rolled out properly. I think that they didn't think about in no other vaccine that I can think of, and maybe I'm missing one. I don't think so. No other vaccine do we give such a short interval between the first and the second dose.
Right. Yeah. And the next point. Yeah,
that was a disaster, and I think that may have been what accounted for. This was a very inflammatory vaccine. Vaccines always tend to cause. I mean, you know, they cause an immune reaction. What is an immune reaction? You have one when you have a cold. When you have one when you have stomach flu. You have one when you have cancer. You have one when you have a thorn in your foot and your foot turns red where the thorn went in, or a bee sting. So imagine a very effective, it just elicited such a great response that I think we sort of piled on, if you will, with challenging our immune system with a very effective challenge. Our immune system, depending on the person, there was probably a genetic component there, may have overshot in some cases, and that's why people were getting blood clots and myocarditis. It was just an overshoot because I think it was an over-aggressive administration of the vaccine.
In the last 20 seconds, mRNA, does it actually change your cellular biology inside the body and lead to additional issues?
Well, there's debate over that. I think that there's theoretical concerns that it could result in some DNA changes. That has not been borne out.
All right. Dr. Randy Tobler on every Saturday morning right here on News Talk STL. Thank you very much for your time, your expertise, sir.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Larry.
I'll be looking for my medical degree in the mail, sir.
Hey, not a problem. Not a problem. And the malpractice premium will come with that.
God bless.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield is so luxurious you might think you have to be a member. You don't, but you will quickly see why Lit won the 2023 Riverfront Times Best Smoking Lounge, Best Smoke Shop for the second time in a row. Quality cigars, premium drinks. So join me at Lit, just off 40 in the district at Chesterfield. For special events, entertainment, always check the website, litstl.com. litstl.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, let's go back to our war fronts. And one, of course, that continues is Ukraine. And the Biden administration wants more of your money dumped into Ukraine. We do not have a full accounting of how much money we have given already, nor how much more he wants to give, nor the equipment we give. We do know what happened in Afghanistan. We left behind billions of dollars worth of munitions, planes, all for the Taliban because of the hastily pullout ordered by the Biden administration. And we do know and have heard various reports that some of those same munitions and rifles have been showing up in Gaza for use there. Now, Ukraine, of course, Putin made his assault into Ukraine under Biden. Previously, he had made an assault into Crimea to claim back that part of the land for the old Soviet Union, trying to rebuild it under Obama. And then he went quiet for a while during the Trump years. Now, those who support Trump, I'd be one on this case, say that he began to realize, I don't want to deal with Trump. Yeah, maybe it's because he thought, maybe Putin thought, Trump's a little crazy. You don't know what he'll do. Or he thought Trump is like Reagan. He's not going to put up with nonsense. I'll let you make the choice yourself. I have my thought, and that is that it was more a belief that we were going to be a stronger nation after Obama finished his apologetic tour and then left office. And then Biden comes back in, and Russia says, we got another patsy. Let's roll over him. And remember how many months they spent preparing their troops around Ukraine? Remember that? They put some right on their eastern edge of the border. and they sent some up above the northern part. All military games. In fact, that was a line in the story. They were giving their own troops, and the families of the troops were being told, military exercise, nothing to it. And then they sent a couple of ships into the Black Sea, just below Ukraine. Oh, more military exercises. And then the first shot is fired. You realize, game over. And yet, as far as the end of Ukraine being game over, it wasn't. It was the beginning, and it continues to be fought. And lives are being lost on a regular basis still in Ukraine. It's been pushed to the back burner because of the Israeli situation. But it is there, and here's another drop that's coming. NATO is now reaffirming NATO its long-term support for Ukraine and says all members agreed the nation, Ukraine, will join NATO. But not while the war is ongoing and not before it has reformed. Now, see, that was part of the issue of Putin anyway, supposedly. He didn't want another NATO nation right on his border. And as a member of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, if Ukraine were a member of NATO at the time he made his assault, we would have had to be directly involved. Boots on the ground and everything, because that's part of the pledge that you make when you join Ukraine. You help defend them against all enemies. Oh, that's very similar to our pledge, isn't it, for defending our nation, this nation, against all enemies, foreign and domestic, which has been thrown out the door anyway by the current Biden administration. But apparently the Secretary General of NATO is now making it very clear that we will take in Ukraine as and every member nation is in favor of doing so as soon as they're done with their war, hopefully sooner than later, and they reform. Now, reform becomes the next issue because it has been known for a major criminal enterprise in so many different levels. How else did Hunter Biden get his job in Ukraine, a Ukrainian energy company? What did he know about oil and gas? I assume he knows how to pump gas into the car. Maybe not. But he had the connections, the Biden connection. And even Biden himself, during an interview with 60 Minutes, interviewed, admitted, if my name hadn't been Biden, that probably never would have happened. That is almost a joke, and yet it's not, because it's so darn true. Now, this is not the first time there's been a report that Ukraine will definitely join NATO, and previous statements of allies have agreed to not do anything at all for Ukraine, regardless of what happens at this time. And one of the reports comes from the Hungarian leader, who responded back in April when he saw the writing for the Secretary General stating, all NATO allies have agreed Ukraine will become a NATO member. You know what the Ukrainian response was? What? Apparently they didn't know they signed off on that. So we're not so sure it's going to happen anyway. But back to the other war, that one being staged now in Gaza Strip. There is another pause underway for more hostages to be released. Former Prime Minister Bennett.
Right now there's a specific arrangement where if we get 10 to 12, I believe 12 hostages per day, we're willing to do that. That's the price tag, but up to 10 days, after which we continue fighting. And we're not fighting because we want to fight. We're fighting because we have no choice. No country could allow a Hamas Nazi state on its border.
Do you worry this pause in fighting is hurting Israel's momentum?
First of all, of course, it is to some extent. I don't want to be blind to reality, even when it's unpleasant. Obviously, in battle, you want to hit your opponent, and when your enemy is down, that's when you want to, I would say, squeeze it in order to bring victory. So it is a pause, but I can tell you I'm meeting soldiers, I'm meeting commanders, I'm meeting the people of Israel. Everyone here is so steel resolved to defeat Hamas. So that's what we're going to do.
How do you feel like the ground campaign, the military campaign, has been going prior to this pause?
It went very well. And the result of a very successful ground campaign where we just barged into Gaza against Hamas and the terrorists with massive force. And it brought Hamas to ask for this deal. So obviously the performance of IDF is very good and very effective, but we're going to have to, you know, reignite the whole machine in order to defeat Hamas on the southern side. We've conquered and taken over the northern side of Gaza. Now we need to take care of the south.
The south side, of course, is the one that abuts Egypt, where the Rafah Gate is, where humanitarian aid is allowed to pass through on a regular some designated dates and times, and some of those being released are going through the Rafah crossing. But Israel agreeing to extend the pause for another 2 days, and in exchange, they get another 10 hostages for each of the 10 days. That is simply a stall technique. But as you heard the former prime minister of Israel point out, he said the reason they're doing it is because they realize they're having a hard time right now. They're not doing as well as they thought they could be doing or should have been doing, so they need the time. He said if we didn't give them the time, let me put it this way, I'm not going to put words into his mouth, but the thought is if they didn't get the time, then they'd either kill the hostages and just get the hell out of Dodge or Gaza, in this case, if they could, or they would simply surrender. And who knows how many might have been wanting to surrender and were killed by their commanders or others. There is also some internal struggling inside the Biden White House over the Israeli-Hamas war. In fact, according to one report, White House aides say the administration's position, which is very wishy-washy, I might add, between Hamas and Israel is threatening Biden's 2024 election hopes. Well, that's just one more problem you guys got. The internal power suggests the Biden administration will go into election year alienating half the Democrat Party, raising concerns that likely GOP nominee former Trump will reclaim the White House. That is as written by Breitbart. Numerous aides and allies inside and outside the White House said the Washington Post, or told the Washington Post, that Biden's support of Israel's defense measures against Hamas is, quote, dividing a White House that has prided itself on running a, I can't do this. I cannot say this next set of words without either getting sick or laughing. Here it goes. Stand by. All right, it says, let me get my breath here. The Washington Post said that Biden's support of Israelis' defense measures against Hamas is, quote, dividing a White House that has prided itself on running, oh God, a disciplined and united operation. There's nothing disciplined and united in that White House. Good Lord. Put KJP out there. They give you your full answer right there. You are aware that three Palestinian students here in the U.S. were shot the other day, just walking to a campus event. And why were they shot? Because they're known to be Palestinian. They weren't out rallying for PLO. They weren't out shouting on behalf of Hamas. I don't know if they had in the past. But here they were doing nothing but walking across the campus or somewhere, and all three were shot. Two are going to be okay. One is still in a delicate, critical situation at last report. But there's a Jewish professor at University of South Carolina that has been basically held to a higher standard. Let me see, is this USC? It's USC. It's Southern California. He's an economics professor. He's been at the center of a brewing firestorm on campus over his comments. Professor John Strauss, known mostly for research on economics on developing countries with decades of field work in Indonesia and China. That all changed November 9, 2 days after Hamas assaulted Israel, killing innocent people. Professor Strauss stopped before students staging a walkout and protest calling for ceasefire and holding a memorial for thousands of Palestinian Christians. The professor's interactions with students that day ended with the 72-year-old Strauss, who is Jewish, declaring, and I'm reading the quote from him, "Hamas are murderers. That's all they are. Everyone should be killed. I hope they are all killed." Well, students got some of those remarks on their cell phones and, of course, recognized a viral moment knowing how what they've got. One of them, he asked, I didn't get the, "Can you say that again one more time for the camera?" And he was more than willing to repeat it. You know what happens. Within hours, his comments are posted everywhere, going viral on different Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. And his condemnation of Hamas was often excised, leaving only his hope for all to be killed. In other words, hoping even the captives being held to be killed. Nobody said. He said Hamas, those who carried out this horrific attack. There were captions and comments outlined framing his demand for everyone to be killed. One Instagram shared to millions of users claimed falsely Strauss told the students, "I hope you get killed." Well, within a day, the associate dean told Strauss, "You're on paid administrative leave, barred from campus, no longer a teaching this semester." So within a week, a petition demanding that he be fired for racist, xenophobic behavior, promoting and inciting violence. 6,500 signed off on that. Let me give you a balance. They're not all that crazy. 9,500 signed a counter petition saying the treatment of Strauss for his remarks is unjust. He was a victim of online misinformation and demanding the university reinstate him. Well, the executive director of the Council on American Islamic Relations in L.A. called on the college to launch an investigation, take actions to protect Muslim, Palestinian, and Arab students who are targeted by his hate and bigotry. Others are saying all of this has been a shocking overreaction. A political, ethnic, generational, religious fault lines all being reignited because he said Hamas should be exterminated. Put me down on that list with that professor. Put me on that list for what they did, every one of them. I'm not talking about their wives or their children. I'm talking about those that carried out the attacks, and they intended to be as barbarous as possible. And I'm not interested in a fast death for them either. I'm sorry, I don't have that kind of mercy. I leave it to God. And remember our nation and our pledge, one nation under God.